I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Albinos lack pigment in their skin. More than 24 albinos have reportedly been murdered in Tanzania since the beginning of the year. Vicky Entetema is the bureau chief for the BBC in Tanzania. While investigating this story, Entetema's own life was threatened, and she went into hiding. NPR's Tony Cox caught up with her after the reporter fled to Kenya.
Which doctors want albino organs for magic potions, which they say make people rich? In March this year, President Jakaya Kikwete giving examples of the rituals performed by the so-called witch doctors in order to enrich their clients, said that some of them use herbs that send the victims into a coma before they draw blood by piercing a sharp object into the middle of the skull. And some of the killings are instigated by superstitious beliefs that one can be very successful businessman or woman in the mining and fishing activities if they use human organs in their rituals.
I understand that you recently went undercover, posing as a businesswoman to expose these witch doctors. Tell us what happened.
Now, two witch doctors promised to get me a magic potion mixed with ground albino organs. Their starting price was $2,000 for the vital organs, which are bones from the palms, hands, legs, and also blood and hair. And in one occasion, a witch doctor told me that the police were among his customers and that he could make a special magic potion mixed with ground male and female private parts to enable people to commit armed robbery without being caught.
Did you believe him that the police were aware of this and were a part of this?
Well, I believe because he told me that the man who was wearing civilian clothes outside the house where we were was a policeman, and he wanted some magic potions. And he was told to go in the morning and then come back in the afternoon. But my session took longer, and the witch doctor said that he didn't have any time for him and that he arranged for another day. That is when the man said to the witch doctor that why was he attending to me while I was an investigator of some sort? And that is the time when the threats now started coming through my phones.
What kinds of threats did you receive?
Well, a total of 4 phone calls from witch doctors with chilling messages such as, what have you done now? We thought you were our genuine client. Watch your back. Why are you doing this to us? So I recognized one number. The rest were from private numbers. I also received several anonymous calls. Nobody would say anything on the line, but I could hear someone breathing and sighing. So you see, I have stepped on people's toes there. I have denied some witch doctors their only means of generating income. And some families may feel that they are humiliated by my report because their parents, spouses, siblings, and relatives have been exposed and could be brought to book. But also, I have stepped on the toes of the policemen because the country says they were not able to find these witch doctors, and I did, and I'm just one person.
Did you have to go into hiding?
Yes, I'm out of the country right now, and I don't know how safe I am in Tanzania, but because of these threats, the BBC authority said that I should get out for a while and let things cool down. And, you know, experience shows that when journalists are successful in their investigative reports in Tanzania, they may face threats and sometimes are attacked. My colleagues from the Mwana Halisi papers have scars to show that although investigative journalism is what the media should embark on if we are to bring about change in Tanzania, there are those few selfish people who would always oppose the progress in order to protect their interest. And I believe that there are some politicians, the police, businessmen who would go to witch doctors. And this information came from the highest officer of the police when I spoke to them.
Do you feel any regret because of the danger that this story has brought to you personally? Do you have any regrets about doing what you have done and uncovering and exposing what you have?
Not at all. I had to do it because from November 2007, until March, when I started investigating these albino killings, 19 people had been killed. And by the time I finished my report, 24 had been killed. Now the number is 26. So I don't regret, and I think I'm only one person. If they come and kill me, the report is out, the investigation is out, the witch doctors have been exposed, and if the police are involved, well, they'll face the courts. But at least I would save the albino community. At least I would say I died for a good cause, and maybe one less albino person would die. So I don't regret.
Earlier this year, the president of Tanzania ordered a crackdown of all those who were involved in ritualistic killings. Has anyone ever been arrested and prosecuted for killing an albino?
I understand that 173 witch doctors and the hired killers were arrested. But also, after our investigation, after the BBC investigative report, 34 more others have been arrested, and they are under police custody. But none of these has gone to court yet, and the police are saying that it's very difficult to gather evidence because people are very scared to come forward and say, I know this person has done X, Y, Z, or has killed so-and-so. Because in this region, the culture of secrecy rules the society. And when you say to the police that this witch doctor has killed so-and-so, it means that either the witch doctor or their families or their clans or the hired killers will come after you. So people are too scared to come forward and give that evidence in court.
Now, the president appointed the first albino member of parliament in April. Can you tell me more about her and what she's doing to stop the murders?
She wants the government to at least prosecute even one person in order to show that the government is really serious in their pledge of protecting these albinos. But also it is her job, she says, to go to the society and tell the people that, look, I'm here. We are ordinary people. We don't have magical powers. We struggle just like you. We need education, health services, just like ordinary Tanzanians. So give us a chance and we can make wonders, not by believing in superstitious rituals.
Vicky, this is a very compelling story. I want to thank you for your efforts and for coming on to News and Notes and sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me on your program, Tani.
That was Vicky Ntetema, Bureau Chief for the BBC in Tanzania. She was speaking with NPR's Tony Cox.